ஓம் பத்ரங்கண்ணே விஷ்ணுநுயாம தேவாஹ பத்ரம் பஶ்யேமாக்ஷபர்யஜத்ராஹ ஸ்திரைரங்கைஸ்துஷ்டுபாகம்ஸஸ்தனுபிஹ வ்யஷேம தேவஹி தய்யதாயுஹ ஸ்வஸ்தி ந இந்த்ரோ வ்ருத்தஶ்ரவாஹ ஸ்வஸ்தி நஃ பூஷா விஸ்வவேதாஹ ஸ்வஸ்தி நஸ்தார்க்ஷோ அரிஷ்டநேமிஹ ஸ்வஸ்தி நோ ப்ருஹஸ்பதிர்தாது. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்தி. Let us read the mantras from second section. So you will not forget those mantras. ஓம் ததேதத் சத்யம் மந்த்ரேஷு கர்மாணி கவயோ யான்ய பஷ்யன் தானி த்ரேதாயாம் பஹுதா சந்ததானி தான்யாச்ச ரத நியதம் சத்யகாமாஹ ஏஷவ பந்தா சுக்ருதஸ்ய லோகே யதா லேலாயதே ஹ்யர்ச்சிஹி சமித்தே ஹவ்யவாஹனே ததாஜ்ய பாகாவந்தரேண ஆஹுதீஹி ப்ரதிபாதயேத். See, it's very important all of you to learn to chant the mantras correctly so that you can memorize the mantras also in due course of time. Okay, without getting the words of mantra correctly, it is no way of getting the meanings correctly. So yada lelayat, okay, yada lelayate hyarchihi samiddhe havya vahane tadajya bhagavantarena ahutihi pratipadayet yasya agnihotra madarsham apurnamasam achaturmasyam anagrayanam அதிவர்ஜித்த அஹுதமவைஸ்வதேவம் அவிதினாஹுதம் ஆசப்தமாம் தஸ்ய லோகான் ஹி நஸ்தி காலீ கராலீ ச மனோஜவாச சுலோஹிதாயா ச சுதூம்ரவர்ணா ஸ்புலிங்கினி விஸ்வருச்சி ச தேவி லேலாயமானா இதி சப்த ஜிஹ்வாஹ ஏதேஷு யஸ்சரதே ப்ராஜமானேஷு யதா காலம் சாஹுதயோ ஹ்யாததாயன் தம் நயந்தேதா சூர்யஸ்ய ரஷ்மயஹ யத்ர தேவானாம் பதிரேகோதிவாசஹ ஏஹ்யேஹி திதமாஹுதயஸ் சுவர்ச்சஸஹ சூர்யஸ்ய ரஷ்மிபிர் யஜமானம் வஹந்தி ப்ரியாம் வாசம் அபிவதந்த்யோர்ச்சயந்த்யஹ ஏஷவ புண்ய சுக்ருதோ ப்ரஹ்மலோகஹ ப்ளவாஹ்யேதே அத்ருடா யஜ்ஞ ரூபாஹ அஷ்டாதசோக்தம வரம் யேஷு கர்ம ஏதச்ரேயோ ஏபிநந்தந்தி மூடாஹ ஜரா மிருத்யும் தே புனரேவாபியந்தி அவித்யாயாமந்தர். This is the mantra we have to learn, I think, today. Finish this also, anyway. அவித்யாயாமந்தரே வர்த்தமானாஹ ஸ்வயம் தீராஹ பண்டிதம் மன்யமானாஹ ஜங்கன்யமானாஹ பரியந்தி மூடாஹ அந்தேனைவ நீயமானாய தாந்தாஹ அவித்யாயாம் பஹுதா வர்த்தமானாஹ வயம் க்ருதார்த்தா இத்யபிமன்யந்தி பாலாஹ யத்கர்மினோ ந ப்ரவேதயந்தி ராகாத் தேனாதுராஹ க்ஷீணலோகாஶ்ச வந்தே இஷ்டாபூர்த்தம் மன்யமானா வரிஷ்டம் நான்யச்ரேயோ வேதயந்தே ப்ரமோடாஹ நாகஸ்ய ப்ருஷ்டே துசுக்ருதேன போத்வா இமம் லோகம் ஹீனதரம் வா விஷந்தி We have covered up to the 9th verse, 10th mantra also we started. Let me reread it again. Ishtapurtam manyamana varishtam. Ishtapurtam manyamana varishtam. Nanyachreyo vedayante pramodhaha. Nanyachreyo vedayante pramodhaha. Nakasya prishthe te sukrute no bhotva. Nakasya prishthe te sukrute no bhotva. Imam lokam hinataram va vishanti. Nakasya prishthe te sukrute no bhotva. Imam lokam hinataram va vishanti. So in all these verses, 7th, 8th, 9th and 10th. In all these mantras, Upanishad actually discusses the limitations of the performance of rituals and the results of those rituals. See, when Upanishad talks about the limitations of rituals and the results, does not mean Upanishad discourages a person to perform rituals. Because there are many people who think that living a religious life itself is an end of everything. And performing rituals itself is ultimate end. Enjoying the results of actions itself is mistaken to be the ultimate goal. They do not see that there is something more than that. There is jnanam, there is moksha, there is dharma. They do not see. So, in fact, performance of rituals is important, very important. At the same time, it must be performed as yoga, that it must contribute for a person to discover limitations of karma and karma phalam, a person to discover dispassion in his life, then thereby it must be enable him to move on to next pursuit of jnanam. Otherwise, karma will be binding. That's what in these mantras it is said. So, ishtam karma, purtam karma. We saw already, ishta purtam varishtam manyamanaha. There are also people who think ishtam means religious rituals, religious activities, and purta karma means social service activities. And anyway, whatever is the karma, any karma is a karma. So karma is time bound in nature, because even ishtam karma is dependent on 18 factors, and all of them are, you know, time bound in nature. Therefore, the accessories required for karma are time bound in nature. Therefore, karma is also time bound. Therefore, karma phalam also is time bound. It definitely, no karma can ever produce result as a moksha. That is the meaning given here. So even though a person's punya karma is capable of taking him to the Haswagga loka, higher lokas, definitely punyam will enable a person enjoy better pleasures in life. But still, any pleasure is only a time-bound experience. And the punyam, once punyam gets exhausted, that experience of pleasure also will come to an end. So life in higher loka also will come to an end. Then, when the punyam gets exhausted, kshina lokaha chavante, mean they slip away from the punyam, sarga, higher, the world of heaven, world of pleasures, high exalted pleasures. From that they fall into this world of mortals again. It means definitely there's no moksha. However great the rituals are, however great the service activities are, however tremendous punyam person earns, definitely no doubt all that punyam will pay him back in terms of enjoyment of pleasures, enjoyment of heavenly pleasures also. But there's no moksha. One cannot free oneself from this bondage of samsara. Again, there's a possibility of going through the paths of opposites as a human being. Sometimes the paradha is very bad. Even it is possible for one to assume even much lower bodies or much lower beings also. Therefore, Upanishad in all these mantras by way of talking about the rituals and their benefits, Upanishad also makes us understand limitations of karma. Why? Because so that we will all become seriously interested in the pursuit of jnanam. So in the following chapter, Upanishad is going to unfold the nature of the reality. So that we will have more shraddha, more commitment, we will be able to learn, listen and understand it better. So we will be more focused, we will be more dispassionate towards other things. So we will, our passion for jnanam will be much greater. Therefore, Upanishad discusses the limitations of karma and karma phalam in these verses. Let us move on to the next mantra. Next mantra, 11th mantra. 11th mantra. Tapashraddheye hyupavasantyaranye. It's a new mantra. Let me read it again properly. Tapashraddhe, tapaha shraddha. Tapaha plus shraddha, tapashraddhe. They make it a dual. Tapashraddhe, ye hi upavasanti, hyupavasanti aranye. Ye hi upavasanti aranye. The two ends and this come. Ye hyupavasanti aranye. Tapashraddhe, ye hyupavasanti aranye. Tapashraddhe, ye hyupavasantyaranye, shanta vidvamso bhikshacharyam charantaha, shanta vidvamso bhikshacharyam charantaha, suryadvarena te virajah prayanti, suryadvarena te virajah prayanti, yatramrutasapurushohyavyayatma, tapashraddhe ye hyupavasantyaranye, tapashraddhe ye hyupavasantyaranye, shanta vidvamso bhikshacharyam charantaha, suryadvarena te virajah prayanti, yatramrutasapurushohyavyayatma, tapashraddhe ye hyupavasantyaranye, tapashraddhe ye hyupavasantyaranye, shanta vidvamso bhikshacharyam charantaha, shanta vidvamso bhikshacharyam charantaha, suryadvarena te virajah prayanti, suryadvarena te virajah prayanti, yatramrutasapurusho hyavyayatma, yatramrutasapurusho hyavyayatma. So here, tapaha shraddha. Put together, tapashraddhe. Third word is ye. Ye is relative pronoun, you all know very well. Those who. Evargalo. Then, he upavasanti, he indeed, he is a, not a, it's a, not a full word, it is, it gives different meanings in different contexts, he mostly gives the meaning of indeed, he indeed, then upavasanti, upavasanti, vasanti is the verb, upa is a prefix, upavasanti is a word, upavasanti means upavasanti, aranye, aranyam, aranye locative case, aranye. Ye aranye upavasanti. Ye hi aranye upavasanti. Those people who live in the jungle, following the, being given to the, being take having gone to the Vanaprastha ashrama. Ye hi upavasanti aranye. Then shantaha. See, the visarga got dropped. And whenever visarga preceded by following long akara gets dropped. Shantaha vidvamsaha. Vidwan. Vidwan's word. Vidvamsaha. Vidvamsaha. Bhaikshacharyam. Bhaikshacharya. Vaikshacharya, Vaikshacharyam, object is Charantaha, Suryadvarena. I'm just reading the words first. Suryadvarena, Te Virajaha Prayanti. Te Virajaha Prayanti. Yatra Amrutaha, Yatramrutaha. Yatra Amrutaha, Yatramrutaha, Saha Purushaha, Hi Avyaya Atma, Avyayatma, Hi Avyayatma, Hyavyayatma. This is how you break, understand the words first. Now, we have seen in the whole of second section of first Mundaka, Upanishad discusses the topic of Aparavidya. When I say Aparavidya, what does it mean? Upanishad does not talk about the nature of the Atma. Upanishad does not talk about the Atma Surupam, Brahma Surupam. If Atma Surupam is discussed, the nature of the Atma is discussed, it becomes the topic of Paravidya. But here Upanishad talks about the rituals and the Agni, the names of rituals and the flame, names of flames and the performance of rituals. And how rituals are dependent on 18 accessories, the limitations of karma, going to heaven, etc., being glorified by devatas, all these actually come under the topic of Aparavidya only. Ever Upanishad still, the whole of this chapter, as I said, Upanishad presents the topic of Aparavidya. But Aparavidya also, we can say Upanishad mainly discussed the performance of rituals and their limitations of the results in the previous mantras. Now, in this particular 11th verse, 11th mantra, Upanishad also talks about the Aparavidya topic only, but it includes the Upasanam. It is not mere performance of rituals, which involves the body, mind and speech. So kayikam, vachikam, manasam, karma. So in performing rituals, body is involved. Of course, speech is involved. Mantras are chanted. And then one mind also must be there. So body, mind and speech, all three are involved in performing rituals. Whereas Upasanam is purely mental activity. And when a person, not only a person performs the ritual, if he also practices meditation on certain devatas, specifically invoking their grace, then the karma becomes what? Karma upasana samuchyaha. It is a combination of, is combining karma with the practice of meditation. Then naturally the result must be much more effective. Even then, even if the karma is combined with the practice of meditation, even though it is going to produce much greater results, still that result will not be moksha. So upasana, limitation of upasanam, upasana phalam, the benefit of practicing meditation, and even combining performance of ritual with the practice of meditation also will produce only the limited result. That is what Upanishad wants to teach us here. So in the very first Upanishad which we are teaching in the whole order, even here Upanishad very beautifully prepares. There's a preparation for any further study of the Upanishads also. Okay. Now, so here upasanam, we have already seen how performance of rituals can help a person attain the higher lokas, enjoy the benefits and come back once the punyam gets exhausted. So here, Upanishad also talks about the upasanam. effort is said. Upasanam, meditation is, of course, always meditation is on Bhagavan. Who is the subject matter? Who is the object of meditation? Object of meditation must be Ishwaraha. Mean Ishwara only. If Ishwara is the object of meditation, we won't even call it meditation. So, meditating upon Bhagavan, Ishwaraha, in any given form, with any given name, or meditation upon the Ishta Devata. Ishta means in a personal deity also. As Ishwara. Becomes Ishwara Upasanam. So here, Upasanam, definitely practicing meditation upon Ishwara, definitely produces benefits and highly advantageous. At the same time, there's also limitation, there's also disadvantage. So, practicing meditation will bless a person with many material benefits. Practicing meditation also will bless a person with prosperous life. One can have material benefits. One can have even good, have heavenly pleasures also. And the highest result of practicing meditation one can have is attaining Brahmaloka. And but to go to Brahmaloka, one has to live one's life here completely. One can go to Brahmaloka only after the death. And second thing, but one can go to Brahmaloka, there's a possibility of attaining Krama Muktihi, or one has to come back also. Then meditation also can contribute for what? Chitta Naischalyam. Chitta Naischalyam, mental steadiness. Practice of meditation can bless a person with mental steadiness, Chitta Naischalyam. And our focused attention. Chitta Naischalyam and Chitta Ekagrata. Focused attention. These are all the benefits of practicing meditation. But what is the disadvantage in practicing meditation? It also we'll see. See, the person, whatever better and best results a person enjoys and experiences, definitely no upasanam can ever bless a person with the attainment of moksha. Moksha cannot be attained at all. Because upasanam cannot remove ignorance. Upasanam also happens to be the mental activity. It's also product of ignorance. Any activity, physical, mental, oral activities, being products of ignorance, cannot destroy, remove ignorance. Therefore, there's no way of attaining jnanam. No way of resolving the ignorance. Therefore, there's no way of attaining moksha as a result of practicing meditation. So, this is how we have disadvantage also. There's no moksha, it's a limitation of the meditation, result of meditation. And here, and Shankar Bhagavad Pada, in his commentary, in writing his commentary, definitely he pays really special attention. Shankar Bhagavad Pada, when he writes his commentary, he pays special attention to this particular expression. Okay, what it is said, Amritaha, Amritaha, no, means Amritaha. Bhavanti means what? People who practice upasanam become amritaha means, definitely the word amritaha does not mean attainment of moksha. It means relative moksha, apekshika moksha, which means definitely they will live in, even for a very long time. So relatively they have longer time, longer stay in heaven. Therefore, it is called Amrute, Amrutaha. It is simply said Amrutaha Bhavanti. Definitely, they do not attain moksha at all. So that Shankara Bhagavatpada makes it very clear. So, in fact, in all his commentary on Upanishads, Shankara Bhagavatpada specifically mentions about this word Amrutaha, because Amrutaha literally means immortal. So meditators become immortal means that does not mean they attain moksha. They only live in heaven for a very long time, because heavenly life is relatively much longer life. Therefore, they are said to be relatively, they attain relative freedom, but not absolute freedom. Okay. Now, so, absolute eternity, then relative eternity. Eternity actually means beginninglessness, endlessness, and changelessness. Eternity means Atma is absolutely eternal, beginningless, changeless, and endless. There's nothing which is absolutely eternal other than the Atma. And freedom, mokshaha, limitlessness, fullness, is in nature of the Atma. Therefore, moksha is also absolutely eternal. But what, I mean, Shastram talks about relative moksha, relative freedom. What does it mean? People may go to heaven, which is comparatively much, much, much longer period of stay in heaven than in this world of mortals. And there, as long as they have punyam, they remain relatively free. But that doesn't, it's exactly how a person in sleep, we all have freedom. Relatively, we have relative freedom in sleep. A few hours of sleep, freedom. Temporary freedom in sleep we have. After death, a person has relative freedom. But even similarly, when a person goes to heaven also, he had relative freedom. But the duration is very long. Therefore, it is compared to the life in the world of human beings, life in heaven is much longer. Therefore, it is said to be going to heaven and enjoying freedom there is said to be relative, it's said to be relative eternity. Apekshika mokshaha. Therefore, even having the status of being a Brahma is also relative. It is not permanent. This is how Upanishad in its teaching makes it very clear that Upasanam also has its own limitations. Now, suppose a person does not practice mere meditation. If a person does not practice perform mere karma, if a person practices both karma and upasanam, if a person performs ritual and also practices upasanam, if he combines it, then it will have much greater result. Okay, but still, even then, Upanishad says that the result is limited only. Now, here, when a person understands those limitations, it is possible for a person to move on to Jnana Yoga. And for a person to become totally committed to the pursuit of Jnanam, the person needs to know definitely the limitations. And he must be convinced of the limitations. And he must grow out of desire for this. Then naturally, effortlessly, this person will move on to the pursuit of Jnanam. And this shift in his commitment to the pursuit of Aparavidya to the Paravidya or Param Jnanam should happen. for which here this performance of karma, practice of meditation definitely helps person to grow, to move on to the pursuit of jnana. Now, let us read this mantra. Tapaha shraddhe he upavasanti aranye. Tapashraddhe ye upavasanti aranye. Please bear with this with me. This is a, don't think I'm repeated things. Very important to say these things. Okay. See, here the upasanam mentioned in this mantra is Virad upasanam, Hiranyagarbha upasanam. Instead of upasanas are there. So invoking the grace of Bhagavan as the one who is in the form of the gross universe becomes Virad upasanam. You look at Ishvara as the one who is in the form of the subtle universe becomes Hiranyagarbha upasanam. So, and the Hiranyagarbha upasanam, these upasanams will also bless a person with many occult powers known as Ashtamahasiddhayaha. Even Ashtamahasiddhi is also not for all the people. Very, very seriously, people who are given to this practice of meditation very seriously may be blessed with some siddhis or all 8 siddhis, at least 1 or 2 siddhis. Even if a person is endowed with 1 siddhi itself, he'll be looked up to as a Bhagavan. Because simple, ordinary people, even a small 1 siddhi will make them look at other person as somebody, oh Bhagavan, he has got something supernatural, superhuman powers. Imagine a person is endowed with all 8 powers. Even few powers a person, one power a person has, few a person has, or whether a person has all Ashtamahasiddhis. Definitely, he'll be considered to be somebody very, very great. But still, even a person who has attained Ashtamahasiddhis or 1 or 2 Siddhis is said to be Siddha Purushaha. So Siddha Purushaha is not a Jnani. A Jnani may be a Siddha Purushaha, need not be a Siddha Purushaha. But Atma Jnani, Brahma Jnani, a person who has the clear vision of the Atma Swarupa may be a Siddha Purushaha, need not be a Siddha Purushaha. But still he is a person of, he is a liberated person. He is a Jnani, Che Jivan Muktaha. And he can definitely attain Videha Mukti also. But a Siddha Purushas, even though they are endowed with tremendous powers, still all Siddha Purushas need not be Jnanis. Siddha Purusha need not be a Jnani. Siddha Purusha is not a Jnani. Which means even with all their powers, they may be high influential and all that, but still they are not free. They are not liberated people. So, in this 11th mantra, Upanishad says, when a person practices meditation along with the performance of ritual, and to be able to practice meditation, he must have taken to next ashrama called Vanaprastha Ashrama. When a person retires from his Grihastha Ashrama duties, who has fulfilled his Grihastha Ashrama duties, then naturally he is eligible to move on to the next ashrama called Vanaprastha Ashrama. So Vanaprastha Ashrama is designed for persons to live a meditative life. Sannyasa Ashrama is for living contemplative life. Vanaprastha Ashrama is for a person to live a meditative life. Means he becomes more religious with the little of commitments. Therefore, Sannyasa Ashrama alone is an ashrama designed for totally for spiritual pursuit, living a life, contemplative life. So we know very well the first ashrama, Brahmacharya ashrama, is only for Shastra Adhyayanam. And Grihastha ashrama is specifically designed for living a life of Karma Yoga. And Vanaprastha ashrama is designed for living a meditative life with less commitments. And Sannyasa ashrama is specifically designed for total commitment to the pursuit of Jnanam, living a contemplative life. This is how Vedashastram has designed lifestyle, all ashramas for a human being. So, this scheme of ashrama system, even though it is not, sometimes people say that it is not practical for nowadays for follow all these duties, still it is well designed program. So, the person who is given to the discipline of meditation is called Vidwan. A Jnani is also called Vidwan. But here, even a meditator also is called Vidwan. In this mantra, the word used is Vidwan. So, Vidwan here, does Vidwan means Jnani. Vidwan also means Upasakaha. But in this mantra, the word Vidwan, Vidwan Saha, the plural word actually means Upasakaha, meditators. And the person who lives the life of Karma Yoga doing his duties naturally becomes, because with more responsibilities, and when he gets tired of his lifestyle, and when he also completes his duties, when he moves on to the next ashrama, then his life becomes meditation-oriented. Life having meditation as important, as his meditation becomes an important thing in his life. So, as a vanaprasthi, a person is not fast in his activities. In fact, the person who has been living a very, very fast life, involving himself in too many activities, becomes slow. That means then he has time to sit quietly to focus on meditation. And such a person, when he practices meditation, what happens? That is what is discussed in this mantra. And Vanaprasthi also is allowed to live on alms. Please make a note, Brahmachari can go for Bhiksha in India. A student can go for Bhiksha. People will give food for a Brahmachari. A sannyasi can go to another house without any inhibition and people will give bhiksha. And Vanaprasthi is also allowed to live on alms. Because when a person goes and lives in a jungle, he may not have facilities to cook. So he is also allowed to live on a bhiksha. Because there won't be facilities for him to cook and eat, etc. Therefore, Upanishad mentions here, Vanaprasthi also is said to be living on alms. Okay, this is Grihasthashrami, or is the only person who can give bhiksha. That is why Grihasthashrami must have more money. He must have more money to be able to feed people of other ashramas. Okay. Tapashraddhe, we come back to the mantra. People have been waiting desperately. Tapashraddhe, ye hyupavasantyaranye. So, tapaha and shraddha. Tapaha, what is tapas? The tapas itself is shraddha. The word shraddha in this context means, literally the shraddha means having faith in the, unflinching faith in the words of the Shastram and the teacher. Please make a note. In Mundaka Upanishad, in this mantra, the word Shraddha means Upasanam. So the word Shraddha here means Upasanam. It is not my, it's not I am giving the meaning. My source is Shankara Bhagavad Pada. In his commentary, he says Shraddha means Upasanam. Where only in this mantra. In this mantra, the word Shraddha must be taken as Upasanam meditation. Why the word Shraddha is taken as meditation? Shankara Bhagavad Pada gives the reason. Upasanam meditation is always upon Ishvara. So Ishvara in the form of different natural phenomena known as devatas alone are objects of meditation. So Bhagavan in the form of different natural phenomena known as devatas alone become the objects of meditation. Therefore, unless a person has Shraddha, faith in Ishvara, unless a person has faith in existence of Bhagavan, unless a person has faith in looking at any phenomenon as devata, as manifestation of Ishvara, it is not possible for him to meditate upon devata or Ishvara with reverence. Therefore, the word Shraddha is used in the place of Upasanam. So Shraddha means Upasanam. Therefore, and second thing, and such Ishvara whose grace is invoked in the form of any given devata can be understood. Okay, even though a person meditates upon Ishvara in the form of any devata, he exists, he has faith in the existence of Bhagavan, but still he does not know who that Bhagavan is. There's no clear understanding of how Bhagavan is. And to understand the Ishvara whose grace is invoked upon in the form of devata can be understood only through the means of knowledge called Veda Shastram. So Veda Shastram is the only means of arriving at who Bhagavan is, how Bhagavan is. There's no way of establishing or arriving at how and who the God is, Bhagavan is. So that's why Vedic concept of Ishvara is something very clear. So it's a fact. Bhagavan Ishvara is a fact to be understood. Therefore, one must have, without knowing who Bhagavan is, how Bhagavan is, without understanding the fact how Bhagavan alone is in the form of Devata, if a person has to invoke the grace of Bhagavan, one must have at least what? Shraddha, faith. Therefore, Shastram says, it is very important for the Upasaka, the meditator, to have Shraddha, faith in Ishvara and the Devata, Ishvara in the form of Devata also. Only then Upasanam can be practiced. Only then Upasanam will be effective. Otherwise, Upasanam will be simple, some fun. It will not be an effective discipline. It will cannot become a spiritual discipline. It cannot be a preparatory discipline for spiritual wisdom also. Therefore, even for a person to do any japa, and one must have faith. Without having any faith in the teaching, or a person simply practices some japa, just because some astrologers say they grew some japa. Anyway, the astrologer told me, so I'm doing, I don't know if it's going to work or not. Isn't, I had no clue about the, then it, the Smitar Shraddha, when a person does, it will not be effective. Therefore, Upanishads uses the term Shraddha to say Upasanam. Shraddha is used. Okay. Now, tapaha, the word, one word tapaha literally means austerity or penance. In fact, here the word tapas implies different disciplines. disciplines prescribed specifically for a vanaprasthi. Disciplines prescribed specifically for a person of vanaprastha ashramaha. Together are meant by the word tapaha. So vanaprastha ashrama sambandhi karmani together are meant by the expression tapaha. Now you know what is tapas, what is upasanam, and why the word upasanam, tapshadda, is used to mean upasanam. So the people who take to the life of vanaprastha ashrama and practice this upasanam, which converts a person's life into a religious life. And when a person practices meditation, there's possibility for this meditator to attain two types of benefits. A person can accomplish material benefits or time-bound results. A person can accomplish material benefits means he not only going to heaven, etc. The person can even become the one who has occult powers, Ashtamaha Siddhis, one of few Siddhis. Otherwise, the person can live a meditative life as a vanaprasthi purely for mental steadiness, purely for preparing his mind for later on the attainment of jnanam, which means for accomplishing the spiritual gain. For spiritual result, the person can practice his meditation. It is so, depending upon the person's interest, this person can reap the material benefit as a result, material benefit, or he can also accomplish a spiritual benefit in terms of preparing his mind for the attainment of jnana. And here, Upanishad in this mantra specifically criticizes those people who are interested only in time-bound material interest, non-spiritual material benefits. Which means those, there are some upasakas, some meditators, they are not at all interested in the spiritual end. They are not interested in moksha or jnanam, but they are interested in accomplishing some higher powers. People, power mongers, who are interested in getting some supernatural powers, getting some siddhis. They are interested only in still time-bound material results. Therefore, those upasakas are here condemned in this mantra. All these meditators also, like any other simple person, will live their life. They will eat, drink, grow old, and one day they will also leave this physical body and go away. And when the upasakas die, when the upasakaha who lives a life of meditation whole life, when a person dies, what happens to him? And upasaka, of course, he will not attain moksha. Then upasanam happens to be an exalted discipline. Upasanam happens to be an exalted discipline, though it is not jnanam. Still, these upasakas will be able to travel through solar path known as Shukla Gatihi. Upasakas will be able to travel through solar path known as Shukla Gatihi. So here the mantra says, Virajaha. Please note the word now, Virajaha. Rajas means, the word Rajas literally means Rajoguna. But here, Rajas means papam also. But virajaha means those who have got themselves cleansed of their sins. The word rajas in this context means papam. So virajaha means those who are cleansed of their sins are known as virajaha. How do they get their sins cleansed? By their practice of upasanam for a long time, they become cleansed of their impurities or sins. Which means they become relatively high, much purer people. So definitely upasanam does not remove the ignorance, but upasanam definitely contributes for much better purification. They become highly purified people. They are ajnanis, but still they are relatively much, much purer people. That's why upasakas have certain glow also on the face. Even though it's not Brahma Varchas, still they, because of purification, they also have certain tejas. Because why upasakas have the tejas? Why they get their papams cleansed? Because of their practice of meditation. Because upasakas also strictly follow universal values. Without following universal values, a person cannot become a upasaka. Why? Because the values are not followed means the person will be a split personality, person will be disturbed minded, he cannot practice upasanam. So upasakas also highly ethical. So upasakas who are highly religious are also highly ethical. Therefore, they have virajaha. I mean, they become cleansed of their papams. And even in their ashrama dharmas, values are highly emphasized. So they, by living vanaprasthi's life, following strictly values, and they also earn abundance of punyam. Okay. Now what do these virajaha, what do these upasakas who are cleansed of their papams, virajaha do? He said, surya dwarena prayanti. So these people, see next word now. Tapashraddhe, okay. Surya dwarena virajaha prayanti. Who are the people? Yehi aranye upavasanti. Yehi aranye upavasanti. Those vanaprastha ashramis who live in the forest, who live a meditative life, following their own disciplines prescribed for vanaprastha ashrama and practicing meditation. Such people, shantaha vidvamsaha, the peaceful people and those meditators, okay, bhikshacharyam charantaha, living on alms. What happened? Virajaha prayanti. Te virajaha prayanti. Suryadvarena virajaha prayanti. So suryadvarena means Suryaha solar, Suryaha, Suryadwaram means solar path. Suryadwaram means solar path. Solar path means Shuklagatihi. Shuklagatihi, the solar path is said to be, is the path specially ordained for, specially meant for this vanaprasthashrami who is a upasaka. So yanti, yati gachati, yanti same meaning, pra is a prefix. Prayanti means they travel. Upasakas travel through this surya gatihi, shukla gatihi or solar path. So even though Shastram says this, these Upasakas travel through Shukla Gatihi, it is not available for our perception. People who are here, you see the Upasaka dies. What we can do, suppose the family members or relatives of Upasakas, they only take the physical body, they can go and cremate or they can do something and come back. But they cannot see what happens to this Upasaka. In a subtle form, the Upasakas travel through Shukla Gatihi means we cannot. Okay, it is not possible for other people to see this Upasaka traveling through Shukla Gatihi. It is imperceptible. Because Upasaka is the one who has left this physical body. In fact, Atma is consciousness, but the subtle body, the mind and subtle sense powers, mind and ten powers together formed what now? Soul. And it said, this itaha pra itaha, okay, pretaha. Pra is the prefix. Itaha means gone. Pretaha means gone away. Okay, pretaha means the person who has left this physical body, who has departed from this physical body, that sukshma jivaha is not perceptible. Not available for perception through any of the sense organs. And this solar path known as Shukla Gatihi is also not perceptible. So we cannot have any clue about it. But Shastram talks about it that these people travel through Shukla Gatihi. And Shastram says there are many devatas, ahutis, we have seen already in the previous mantra, devatas, the ahutis themselves as devatas take this jiva. We heard about it. But even who are the devatas, how they take him, we cannot have any understanding, we cannot perceive them through, we cannot experience them. Okay. But Vedashastram says, because of Shraddha in the Vedashastram, we do accept it. That's why this, whenever the heaven-going idea comes, Pujya Swami used to say, it's a non-verifiable matter for belief. We cannot disprove also that they do not go to heaven at all. We cannot disprove. But Shastram says, nor can we prove. Therefore, it's a sheer matter for belief. So matter for belief should be, because of Shraddha in the Shastram, it is accepted. We don't need to argue. But Jnanam for us is a verifiable fact. Ultimately, finally, Vedashastram blesses us with a verifiable fact. Therefore, whatever Veda says, the non-verifiable matters which can be simply believed, also we can accept. And these Upasakas, Suryadwarena, they travel, Suryadwarena Prayanti, they travel through Shukla Gatihi and they reach Brahmalokaha. Yatra Saha Purushaha Asti. Yatra Saha Purushaha Asti. Means the Upasakas reach Brahma, finally traveling through Shukla Gatihi, how far they can go. There's a travel in how far they can go. They can only go to the highest of the lokas known as Brahma Lokaha. There's no higher loka than Brahma Loka. Brahma Loka is the highest of all the 14 lokas. The 6 above, 7 below, we are on in between. Total is 14 lokas. Bhu lokaha, bhuvar lokaha, suvar lokaha, mahar lokaha, jana lokaha, tapo lokaha, satya lokaha. Satya lokaha is what? Said to be Brahma loka. Okay. Which means, so Brahma loka is the highest of the lokas, the best exalt of the lokas. But here, even though mantra says Swargaloka, but still it implies actually Brahmalokaha. And in Brahmaloka, it is said that Brahma, பிரம்மா யத்ர சகா புருஷஹா, சகா புருஷஹா அஸ்தி மீன்ஸ் யத்ர வேர் தட் புருஷஹா. சகா புருஷஹா மீன்ஸ் தட் ஃபர்ஸ்ட் அண்ட் ஃபார்மோஸ்ட் ஆஃப் தி பீயிங்ஸ் அதர்வைஸ் செட் டு பி பிரம்மா த கிரியேட்டர். யத்ர சக புருஷஹா அஸ்தி, பிரம்மா ஈஸ், பிரம்மா ரிசைட்ஸ். And that Brahma is also was said to be relatively eternal, amrutaha. So Brahma, relatively eternal Brahma, who has the qualification of the creator, exists in that Brahmaloka. And how long does Brahma exist in Brahmaloka? Means Brahma can exist in Brahmaloka as long as this creation exists. How long? No, throughout this creation means for just a yuga calculation we have. So long for four yugas, Brahma can be there. Still, it's the longest life, but still it will come to an end. So in different Puranas, we see different presentations of Brahma. But mainly Brahma is always said to be Kamalajaha, Kamalabhuhi. Narayaniyam classes, I taught you many times. In Bhagavatam, in everywhere, Brahma is known as Kamalabhuhu, Kamalajaha, because he is said to be born in the lotus, which was born out of navel of Mahavishnu. Therefore, what happens? Brahma comes into existence. When Brahma comes into existence and Brahma is given the job of creating this world. Brahma creates this world and Brahma can be there. And there is a time the world should dissolve also. At the time of deluge, when the whole creation becomes resolved into Brahma, the entire creation becomes resolved into Brahma at the time of deluge, Mahapralayaha. So Brahma comes, does the Srishti creation. Then again at the time of deluge, the entire creation becomes resolved into Brahma. Then what happens? Brahma also cannot be there. Brahma also along with the Jagat becomes resolved in Lord Vishnu. And ultimately, Brahma, Vishnu, all of them become the whole Jagat, the entire world of forms, names and functions. Brahma along with Vishnu become resolved in Antaryamishwaraha. Antaryamishwaraha. Even if you do not want like the names also, this is how the subtle universe resolves, and the subtle and the gross, everything remains resolved in Antaryamishwaraha. So the gross universe resolves, when the subtle universe resolves, the gross universe becomes resolved in the subtle. And the subtle and the gross, everything becomes resolved in Ishwara. You want to know, you just remain in, when you fall asleep in deep sleep state, there is no subtle universe, there is no gross universe for you. Similarly, in Mahapralaya also it happens. Therefore, what we need to understand, the Brahma also is not absolutely eternal. Brahma also is eternal, means relatively eternal. Therefore, Amrutaha. Here the mantra says, Yatra Amrutaha Saha Purushaha Hi Avyayatma. Amrutaha, the word Yatra Saha Purushaha Amrutaha. Who is Saha Purushaha? That Brahma. Amrutaha, relatively immortal, relatively eternal Brahma resides. And also Avyayatma. சக அம்ருதா அவ்யயாத்மா அஸ்தி. So this upasakas go to Brahmaloka where Brahma relatively eternal, avyayatma. Again, the word avyaha is a word implying the nature of reality. But here, avyayatma is used to describe Brahma. So avyayatma means the one who is not subject to decay or change. Brahma is not change. Brahma is subject to change. Brahma is subject to get resolved. But still, avyatma means relatively, Brahma remains without undergoing any changes for long until the Mahapalayam happens. Therefore, Brahma is said to be relatively the one who is not subject to change, relatively, not absolutely. This Brahma, the one who is not subject to change or decay, relatively, and one who is relatively eternal, relatively immortal, that Brahma is there in Brahmaloka. And this Upasaka also will go to that Brahmaloka and he will be there. Means, so how long can he stay there? As long as Punyam, he worked very hard, earned abundance of punyam, and he is going to spend all his punyam there, and he can enjoy the best of pleasures in the world. And when the punyam gets exhausted, the upasaka also has to come back to this world. Otherwise, the upasaka can also attain kramamuktihi. Anyway, there's no mostly, they said, there's no moksha there. There's no moksha. This is how Upanishad says. So, ye hi shantaha vidvamsaha bhaikshacharyam charantaha, those meditators who have become mentally highly peaceful, not absolutely peaceful, who are relatively highly peaceful and who are purified of their sins, shantaha, vidvamsa, meditators, bhaikshacharyam charantaha, living on alms, tapashadde varanye upavasanti, live a meditative life following their disciplines pertaining to vanaprastha ashrama. Such people, when they leave the physical body, virajaha, as the purified ones, suryadvarena, they, through the solar path, they go to Brahmaloka prayanti, where they go to the loka known as Brahmaloka, where relatively immortal, eternal, that first born being as Brahmaji, who is not subject to change or decay relatively, he resides. This is the literal meaning of the mantra. Also, I've explained elaborately the whole mantra. தபஸ்ரத்தே யேஹி உபவசந்த்யரண்யே சாந்தா வித்வாம்சோ பைக்ஷச்சர்யாம் சரந்தஹ சூர்யத்வாரேண தே விரஜாஃ ப்ரயாந்தி யத்ராம்ருதஸ்ஸ புருஷோ ஹ்யவ்யயாத்மா. ஓகே, நெக்ஸ்ட் மந்திர. பரீக்ஷலோகான், very with an important mantra. Okay, everybody will quote this mantra. This you must memorize also. Parikshalokan karmachitan, parikshalokan karmachitan brahmanaha, brahmanaha parikshalokan karmachitan brahmanaha, பரீக்ஷலோகான் கர்மசிதான் ப்ராஹ்மணஹ நிர்வேத மாயான் நிர்வேதமாயாத் நாஸ்த்யக்ருதஹ் க்ருதேன நிர்வேதமாயான் நாஸ்த்யக்ருதஹ் க்ருதேன நிர்வேதமாயான் நாஸ்த்யக்ருதஹ் க்ருதேன தத்விஜ்ஞானார்த்தம் சகுருமேவாபிகச்சேத் தத்விஜ்ஞானார்த்தம் சகுருமேவாபிகச்சேத் தத்விஜ்ஞானார்த்தம் சகுருமேவாபிகச்சேத் சமித்பாணி ஸ்ரோத்ரியம் ப்ரஹ்மநிஷ்டம் சமித்பாணி ஸ்ரோத்ரியம் ப்ரஹ்மநிஷ்டம் பரீக்ஷ்ய லோகான் கர்மசிதான் ப்ராஹ்மணஃ பரீக்ஷ்ய லோகான் கர்மசிதான் ப்ராஹ்மணஃ நிர்வேதமாயான் நாஸ்த்யக்ருதஃ க்ருதேன சமித்பாணிஸ்ரோத்ரியம் ப்ரஹ்மநிஷ்டம் ஓகே. சோ வென் அ பர்சன் லிவ்ஸ் அ கிளீன் லைஃப் ஆஃப் கர்ம யோகா அஸ் அ கிரஹஸ்தா அண்ட் இஃப் நெசசரி அ பர்சன் ஆல்சோ கோஸ் த்ரூ தி வானப்ரஸ்த ஆஷ்ரமா லீவ் அ மெடிடேட்டிவ் லைஃப் ஆஸ் அ ஸ்பிரிச்சுவல் ஆஸ்பிரண்ட் அண்ட் working mainly for his mental preparation for his jnanam, naturally such a person becomes an intelligent person. He very quickly discovers the limitations of all accomplishments attained as a result of karma. Thereby they become dispassionate towards that results of karma. They become dispassionate, means they are not interested in everything, because nothing in the world can, no accomplishment, no result of karma, no result of upasana, nothing can really bless them with permanent happiness, permanent peace of mind, permanent moksha. So here, for a person to become totally committed to the pursuit of jnanam, to the exclusion of everything else, for a person to go through sannyasa mentally, a person become totally interested only in the pursuit of jnanam, which means he must be intelligent person, he must be a highly mature person. And such a highly mature intelligent person is known here as Brahmanaha. So Upanishad, the word Brahmanaha is a beautiful word. It has so many meanings. But here, you know, who is a Brahmana? I'll explain to you separately. But here, Upanishad, in this mantra, the word Brahmanaha is a mature, highly mature, intelligent individual. And who is a highly mature, intelligent individual? The one who is able to analyze his life's experiences. The one who is able to analyze his life's experiences. Thereby, one who is capable of understanding the limitations of all accomplishments in life. Thereby, who becomes dispassionate towards those ends. He is called Brahmanaha. Okay. Nice words. So he says, Brahmanaha. It's a definition of Brahmana is given here again. Who is a Brahmana? Parikshalokan karmachitan. How a person shifts his life from being a merely a ethical religious person into a totally a spiritual person. That is given, he said here. Parikshalokan. Lokan here means all one's life's experiences. The word lokaha literally means what? It really means world. But lokan here means all one's life's experiences. Pariksha means having thoroughly analyzed all one's life's experiences. Lokan pariksha. And life's experiences and also the results. One's own life's experiences a person has as a result of his efforts. Karma chitan. Karmana chitan. Chitan lokan. Chitta means collected. Karma chitan means the person has his own experiences in life which he has accumulated as results of his own efforts in terms of activities. Karma chitan lokan pariksha. By thoroughly analyzing his experiences, the results of actions, all his accomplishments which he has gained by his all his efforts, by all his hard work, by his activities. Karma chitan lokan pariksha. Brahmanaha nirvedam ayat. The intelligent thinker who learns from his experiences. Nirvedam ayat. Nirvedam ayat. The word nirvedaha literally means indifference. Nirvedam ayat means the person becomes indifferent towards those ends. Becoming indifferent towards those ends means the person discovers dispassion. So Brahmanaha, the intelligent Brahmana, who understands the limitations of all those accomplishments, becomes discovers dispassion towards them. Nirvedam ayati means discovers dispassion towards them. Becomes indifferent towards them means what? He becomes dispassionate towards those ends. Nirvedam ayat. Ayat is a potential word mood. Potential mood verb. Ayati ayat. Nirvedam ayat. And what is his understanding? Nasti kritena akritaha. Sandhi nirvedam ayat nasti nirvedam ayan nasti. What sandhi? Please make a note. Homework for you. I'll ask in Sanskrit class. Nasti akritaha kritena. What is the lesson he learns? This interesting lesson. I'm going to stop here now. Let me tell you this and stop. We'll continue this. This important mantra. I'll again discuss next class. Nasti akritaha kritena. Okay. Akritaha means mokshaha. See, in this mantra, the word akritaha means mokshaha. Why moksha is said to be akritaha? Because krita means something done. Akrita means undone. So, moksha is not a result of action. Moksha is not something created newly. Is it clear now? Kritam means made, created. Akrita means uncreated. So mokshaha, freedom from bondage, limitations. Mokshaha is not something created newly. Is not something made newly. It is not something attained newly. Is it clear? Moksha is not product of karma. Moksha is not result of an action. Moksha is not something newly created, newly attained. Is it clear? Therefore, moksha is meant by the word akritaha. Akritaha in this mantra means mokshaha. Why? Because moksha is not created, made, attained newly. Moksha is something which is already there as the surupam of the Atma. Therefore, moksha is meant by the word akritaha. Akritaha kritena nasti. Krita means action. Okay? Moksha cannot be attained as a result of action. What is the meaning of this sentence? அக்ருத் கிருத்தேன மீன்ஸ் கர்மனா, அக்ருத்தஹ நாஸ்தி, மோக்ஷஹ ந பவதி. சோ மோக்ஷம் கேனாட் பி அட்டைன்ட் ஆஸ் ரிசல்ட் ஆஃப் அன் ஆக்ஷன். நோ கர்மா கேன் ப்ரொடியூஸ் மோக்ஷா. மோக்ஷா இஸ் நாட் அ ரிசல்ட் ஆஃப் ஆக்ஷன். மோக்ஷா கேனாட் பி அட்டைன்ட் ஆஸ் ரிசல்ட் ஆஃப் அன் ஆக்ஷன். பை பர்ஃபார்மிங் அன் ஆக்ஷன், பை பர்ஃபார்மிங் அ ரிச்சுவல், பை டூயிங் சம் சோசியல் சர்வீஸ் ஆக்டிவிட்டீஸ், பை வர்ஷிப்பிங், பை ப்ரேயிங், பை பர்ஃபார்மிங் ரிச்சுவல், பை ப்ராக்டிசிங் மெடிடேஷன், டூயிங் சம்திங் ஆர் தி அதர், மோக்ஷா கேனாட் பி அட்டைன்ட். அக்ருத்தஹ கிருத்தேன அக்ருத்தஹ நாஸ்தி, கர்மணா மோக்ஷஹ ந ப்ராப்யஹ நாஸ்தி. இஸ் இட் கிளியர்? திஸ் தி மீனிங். இதி, திஸ் இஸ் தி அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்டிங் தி பர்சன் ஹேஸ். தி பர்சன் ஹூ அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட்ஸ் ஃபர்ம்லி திஸ் ஃபேக்ட் இஸ் கால்ட் பிராமணஹ. Who is a brahmana? The brahmanaha is the one who clearly, doubtlessly, assertively understands the fact that definitely akritaha mokshaha, uncreated everlasting moksha, okay, cannot be attained as a result of an action. Therefore, how does he know that? I have accomplished so much in life and I'm still not free. I'm still subject to unhappiness, still subject to sorrow, grief. I'm still afflicted by situations. I become the victim of external situations. Okay, I'm still not absolutely peaceful. In still these situations can disturb me. Which means the person knows, okay, I have achieved everything. I did so much work. And this person, now I got so accomplished, also so many awards, so many things I've accomplished in my life, so many degrees, so much of money, so many, everything. So, parilokan karmachitan lokan pariksha, karmachitan lokan pariksha, having thoroughly analyzed all that the person has accomplished, accumulated, all the results, all the benefits, all the ends, through his efforts and activities and hard work, finally this person discovers dispassion towards all of them, nirveda mayat. Thereby, why he becomes dispassionate towards all of them? How does he discover dispassion towards all of them? He understands the limitations of all of them. What is understanding? Kritena akritaha nasti. Kritena akritaha nasti. Moksha is not attained. Moksha is not there as a result of karma. I mean, moksha cannot be attained as a result of karma. Okay? This is the understanding. This, because of this understanding, what I want is, what is moksha? Non-arriving, non-departing, everlasting happiness, everlasting peace is the moksha. And that moksha, okay, cannot be attained as a result of action. Therefore, now this person becomes dispassionate towards all his accomplishments, which he has accomplished as a result of his hard work and efforts and activities. And how does he arrive at it? Because he analyzes thoroughly all his. So, what Swamiji used to say, see, a person must live a life of karma yoga, highly dharma governed life. Only if a person lives a life of dharma, lives his life in conformity with their values, the person living a life of dharma will bless a person with sharpness of intellect. Okay, the good power of intellection a person will have, your person lives a life of dharma. And such an intelligent person, with his intellectual sharpness, he is able to learn this fact that akritaha nasti kritena. By analyzing one's life's experiences, to understand the limitations of all accomplishments of karma, thereby to become dispassionate towards all of them, one must be an intelligent person. For for which one must have lived a life of dharma, such an intelligent person who is capable of analyzing and arriving at the fact is a brahmanaha. Is it clear? If you do not live a life of dharma, you will not be intelligent enough to learn from life's experiences. And even after going through difficulties and hardships in life also, you will not learn. Still, you will be passionate towards time-bound things. Okay, if a person does not live a life of dharma, he can never learn from life's experiences also. People do not learn in spite of going through so much of hardship also. They do not learn from life's experiences because they are not sharp enough. They're not intelligent enough. And one who is intelligent, sharp, one who is capable of learning from life's experiences, thereby who becomes dispassionate towards the material ends, and understand the fact, no, moksha cannot be accomplished as a result of an action. Such a person is brahmanaha. Pariksha lokan karmachitan nirvedamayat brahmanaha. Nasti akritaha kritena. Is it clear? Nasti akritaha kritena. It's a very important mantra. We'll see in the next class. Okay? Sorry for delaying 10 minutes. As I took some time to come back to the lesson. Once you complete this, the next whole of next chapter will enjoy because it's full of Shastra. Only Atma Swarupam will be discussed in the following whole chapter. Only two more mantra will complete this Aparavidya. See tomorrow. Tomorrow we have Mandukho. Tomorrow maybe we'll finish this chapter, the section. Second section will finish tomorrow. We'll have Sanskrit class soon. Let's see. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.